coming alive, truly coming alive,
is the forecast for our nation.
Amen.
Coming alive again to its foundations. Coming alive declaring the sons of the kingdom. That was the word that I heard this morning. The sons of the kingdom are coming alive. You see, the scripture says that the virgins were waiting for the king and the bridegroom. Some had oil and some didn't. I was pondering on some of these things this past week. And in one particular aspect of the day, I was having a little bit of a struggle, and I wanted to give the Lord a chance to awaken me. And I heard Psalms 36. So if you have your Bible or your pad, just dial in Psalm 36. And the heading in the NIV says, "For the director of music, of David, the servant of the Lord." I have several notes where the Lord brought me to this particular word for Holy Communion. At the beginning of that chapter, the only date I have is August 1st, 2016. Holy Communion is abbreviated with a H and a C. So I know that morning, the word was pressed in. "An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself. Too much to detect or hate his sin." You say, what does that have to do with me? It has a lot to do with my background. Has a lot to do with what God has tried to unveil, what he wanted done, how he wanted things done, was not according to my plan. That verse 2, "There is no fear of God before his eyes, for in his own eyes he flatters himself too much to detect or hate his sin." Before you can see a hatred for your sin, your eyes need to be open. Your ears need to catch on to what God is doing. Because you see, the longer you and I think we don't have any, we're living in great delusion. Verse 3, "The word of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good." Verse 4 kind of shows you how it starts. "Even on his bed he plots evil, and he commits himself to a sinful course. and does not reject what is wrong. Why? Because first of all, he's really not afraid of anyone, including God. He's not fearful of having to answer someday for what his sinfulness would like to identify. But he can't see and he can't hear because he's focused on self. He's serving self. And I say he, that's male or female, it doesn't matter. Then it kind of switches in verse 5. I believe David is really saying about himself from 1 through 4, where he was at a season in his life. Because you can't sing about something that you've never tasted. If you've never seen or understood or detected that God is greater than you, you're going to be doing the same mistake that Satan did. Ha ha, I can go higher than him. And he realizes when it's too late that when he lifts himself up, he's heading for hell. No different than many in this generation and in the generations before us. Now, the revelation comes to David at verse 5. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Wow. What a change in attitude. Amen?
Amen.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. How priceless is your unfailing love. Meaning you cannot lose by operating under a love anointing. So David is aware now. Oh my God, I was deceived. But I'm recognizing who my Creator is. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the skies. Verse 5. Verse 7 again. How precious is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadows of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your rivers of delight. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. You can't taste that when you're arrogant. You can't see the light when you're living in the darkness and you're searching for more darkness. And you are not able to pull yourself out on your own in case you forgot. You need a Savior. You need a Redeemer. You need a Healer. So now he's declaring, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. Why is he crying out, continue your love? He's really saying, I haven't got enough. I'm not at the victory line yet. Notice again, your righteousness. It's not our righteousness. Because when we're under the anointing that we are righteous on our own, pride and arrogance can step in when you least expect it. May the foot of the proud not come against me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. Now he's aware. The foot of the proud will get him in trouble. The hand of the wicked will drive him away from God's relationship and of his love. See how the evildoer lies fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. That's the future of the evil one and his followers. See how the evildoers lie fallen, thrown down, not able to rise. I have lived some of these experiences, and I've watched some evildoers fall, unable to rise, because God was kind enough to awaken them that they needed a change of heart. James 1 says, "Is your life full of difficulties and trials of many kinds? Then rejoice, because now you have a chance to mature." King David didn't remain a child in the woods taking care of the sheep. That was part of his training. His training was not in vain because he reached out. Because he saw the love of the Lord in verse 5. He was aware of the magnitude of that love that reached into the heavens. And God's faithfulness to reveal himself to David. I've tasted some of that as well. And I know many of you. And once you start realizing how small you are in the sight of our God and in his abilities, you get a new outlook about who you are in Christ. The sons of the kingdom are aware that the king is in charge. The sons of the kingdom are going to flow with the king. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings.
Amen.
And on that cross, there was a sign. And the Jews couldn't handle it because it said, King of? The word Jew means what? What does the word Jew mean? They're praisers. They're worshipers. They have an awareness that they know the Creator. And some of them did. I should say many of them did. Because the revelation that came to David was intense. Yet, he had a lifestyle that you and I would say, unacceptable. We don't want him for a king. But he had an ability and a revelation of the Creator. He had a download from heaven about the love of the Creator for him and all of those that he was king over them. Now, I'm going to do something I normally don't do because there was a press to say to you that at the early part of my relationship with the Lord, Psalm 37 was a cane or a way of surviving the day. I used it as a cane to stabilize my walk. You say, well, what do you mean? Were you a cripple? I was. Am I a cripple now? Sometimes I limp because I see the weakness inside that's still able to grab a hold of me and give me a ride, and my mouth takes off and it shouldn't. I would like to have full control, but that's a like that hasn't completed itself yet. Amen. Hopefully, I got a few friends. So as you watch this word come alive, may it be a crutch that you now see yourself walking in and then use this word as a cane to survive. Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy the safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, which will irritate the darkness. Yes, amen. That's my version. Mm-hmm. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and it'll bring hell all over. Mm-hmm. It will irritate the darkness to no end. And the more that you have light, the more you're going to be able to see that the darkness wants you out of their way. Watch the next part of the verse. The justice of your cause, like the noonday sun. Woo-hoo. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. He, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Because I like to fix it myself as quickly as possible so I don't have to suffer anymore. Not even one amen?
Amen.
Oh,
yes. But you remember I told you this was a cane. Because it'll bring you to an awareness of your mistake. And choices. Waiting patiently for the Lord was not something I enjoyed doing. And some of the situations lasted many years before I saw a change. But God was trying to change me, not them. Because he wanted my act so that I could become a son of the kingdom. He was looking to develop me into a son and daughter, women, yes, daughters of the kingdom. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Do not fret. Are you kidding? My soul ain't dead yet. And my mouth takes off. I'm better than where I used to live. I have improved.
Amen.
There's been progress.
Hallelujah.
And the process is taking me higher. And I don't always like it. Okay? I don't like listening to the truth that invades my thought patterns. Because you see, the spirit of truth, when it invades my thought patterns, it is against the grains of selfishness. And the Lord was showing me selfishness this week and the foundations of selfishness and how I like to satisfy the me, myself, and I. Please say ouch, those of you who have had a few trials this week.
Ouch.
Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. But I like fretting a little. Because it makes me feel better. But I won't submit to my feelings because that's part of one of those thrones of my soul. It hurts, but it's truth. Yes. Verse 9, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Oh. So if you're really patient by choice, the Lord will cut those off and you will inherit. That's pretty cool. But it won't be comfy. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. I remember several years of having a lot of torment in different individuals that really couldn't stand my guts. And were not afraid to tell me, to my face. I remember at one point the Lord gave me a vision that there was money exchanging hands to pray for my demise. You say, are you that important? I didn't think so. But to God I am. See, you are a son and a daughter of the kingdom, and that makes you valuable to the Lord Most High.
Amen.
My goodness, only one amen.
It also makes you valuable to Satan.
Yes, because he can't stand your guts.
Right.
And those that belong to him will insult you to your face.
That's right. Amen.
A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. There was one particular person that was my irritation. It was almost on schedule. Whenever I was starting to fly a little bit and go above the issues that were plaguing me, this person would show up, either at my office or on the phone, or sometimes face to face, at church. Hear me when I say at church. Am I picking on people in church? No. But the enemy uses people when they have no clue. And at one point, I saw this individual, and they were very broken. And they apologized for what they had done, publicly and privately. And there was no emotion from me. No real response, because I had already forgiven and I was interceding for their salvation and their deliverance by name. Even to the point of going to their family property and walking the street right in front of their home when they were not at home and interceding and pouring oil on the property corners. And asking God to forgive the family that was against me. You know what the hardest part of doing that when you obey? You have a war in your head that's going to try to drive you crazy. But you are commissioned of God as a son of the kingdom. You're not a son of a bitch. They might be, but it's not your job to condemn them to that place. They might have dogs in their past, but I've got dogs in my past. And they failed miserably. And I was the one that was chosen by God to pick up where they left off and not drop the ball, because my God is interested in reestablishing a covenant with my background, and he's interested in every one of your background. He's now asking you to teach them a lesson.
That's right.
He will teach them a lesson.
That's right.
And when he teaches them a lesson, not only will you be able to be aware of the power of your prayer, your power of your intercession, the power that when you lay down before my Father in heaven and you say, forgive them, they know not what they do, challenges and healing will come to you. Yes, the challenges come first, but the healing will also follow.
Amen.
Verse 12. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. I don't think I need to explain that one. But the Lord laughs at the wicked. I believe this word is what's happening right now in our country. The Lord is having a good laugh at the wicked And you know what? They're going to make their choices. Your job is not to be angry with them, but to intercede as the Lord leads. For he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts and their bows will be broken. That's a promise. You can take verse 15 to the bank, Holy Ghost bank. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken. Doesn't say might be.
Amen.
The power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Yes. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. I want to take a break from the word for a moment because one of our intercessors a few weeks ago had a vision during their prayer time. And the vision was of a fast speed of light bullet. And they said to me on the phone, I don't know, but I have no information, but I believe somebody is attempting to kill President Trump. And so they asked for instructions, and the Lord told them what to do. They obeyed the Lord, and we agreed in prayer. Last night, I get a revelation from someone who was able to release information to me that there has been an attempt on the 27th, I believe, of January. And a bullet hit Mar-a-Lago in the glass window in the president's bedroom. I could go on and give you all that. But what I'm saying to you is this. The meekness of the person who received the vision said, why is God choosing me? Why would Jesus' Holy Spirit download that vision to me? And I responded, because of your heart. You don't have an ulterior motive. You're looking to obey the Lord. Your obedience will be honored before heaven. You say, well, I didn't get a vision. Does that mean I'm not righteous? No, I'm not going there at all. What I am saying is the faithfulness of this individual was honored to release that vision so that they could bring an anointing and a refreshing wind and intercession for keeping a person alive that many people would like to see dead. Why am I saying that to you? Because that is a humble servant. That is a servant that's willing to lay down their lives and their way of thinking and obey the Holy Spirit. Now back to the word. Verse 19. In time of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. They will, the wicked, borrow and do not repay. The wicked do not repay. But the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land. But those who he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. That means that you're going to have times when you stumble, when you make a mistake, but if you do, the Lord's hand will pick you back up. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or the children begging for bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking the very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power and let them be condemned when brought to trial. That, I believe, is part of what's waiting for many in our country that have had a selfish motivation and are trying to deceive many people. But again, the Lord will not leave them in their power, meaning us, and let them be condemned when brought to trial, meaning these that have got an agenda. Wait for the Lord and keep his ways. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. But he soon passes away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace, but all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. Here again, the salvation of the righteous comes not from you or your activity, but from the Lord.
Amen.
He is their stronghold in time of trouble. Let the Lord help them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
Thank you.
So if you'll put your right hand over your heart, say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You know my heart.
You know my heart.
And you know about the wicked.
And you know about the wicked.
And those that are deceived.
And those that are deceived.
I lift them up before you, Lord.
I lift them up before you, Lord.
Because my heart.
Because my heart.
Is very aware.
Is very aware.
Of my background.
Of my background.
And my unrighteous thinking.
And of my unrighteous thinking.
And my unrighteous ways.
And my unrighteous ways.
But the Savior gave me his blood.
Savior gave me his blood
to cover all my sins.
To cover all of my sins.
And I am grateful.
And I am grateful.
But he's dealing with our nation right now. So I'm protected. And my prayer is that you will reveal the Savior Jesus Christ to those that are more broken than they realize. How much deception that they live in.
How much delusion
that they have been experiencing. It's not too late. We lift them up. We ask that you give them grace. And that the Spirit of salvation will set them free. So they can experience eternity with me. That's my prayer, Lord. My prayer is that none would perish. But I know some may not change. Let your plan unfold. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.